The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 10, text number 9, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasitikari, recorded on April 27th, 2008, in Tallinn, Estonia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 10, text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brahmana uvacha tvayoditam vyaktam avipralabdam bartu sameshyad yadi vira bhara gantur yadi syad dadi gamam madhva piveti rashao navidam pravada. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great Brahman, Jad Bharat, said, "My dear king and hero, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true. Actually, these are not simply words of chastisement, for the body is the carrier. The load carried by the body does not belong to me, for I am the spirit soul. There is no contradiction in your statements because I am different from the body. I am not the carrier of the palanquin. The body is the carrier. Certainly, as you have hinted, I have not labored for carrying the palanquin, for I am detached from the body. You have said that I am not stout and strong, and these words are befitting a person who does not know the distinction between the body and the soul. The body may be fat or thin, but no learned man would say such things for the spirit soul. As far as the spirit soul is concerned, I am neither fat nor skinny. Therefore, you are correct when you say that I am not very stout. Also, if the object of this journey and the path leading there were mine, there would be many troubles for me, but because they relate not to me, but to my body, there is no trouble at all." Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge is not disturbed by the pains and pleasures of the material body. The material body is completely separate from the spirit soul, and the pains and pleasures of the body are superfluous. And the practice of austerity and penance is meant for understanding the distinction between the body and the soul, and how the soul can be unaffected by the pleasures and pains of the body. Jad Bharat was actually situated on the platform of self-realization. He was completely aloof from the bodily conception, and therefore he took this position and convinced the king that whatever contradictory things the king had said about his body did not actually apply to him as a spirit soul.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna padan sagana lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, this Krishna consciousness philosophy is actually perfect. Wherever you find such a knowledge like this anywhere. You can go to the university. You can take this course, that course, so many courses. You will not find any knowledge like this. Why? Because this is transcendental knowledge. It is not some mundane speculative knowledge. Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pachakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamam Yuyam. Krishna says clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, this knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. And it is joyfully performed. Susukam. There is sukam, that is happiness. But when that becomes very, very, very happy, it is not sukam. It is susukam. So, this Krishna consciousness process, it is susukam. It is simply nectar. Prabhupada told us like them. In the early days, we called him Swamiji. And he told us in one lecture that you cannot find any point about this Krishna consciousness that you can say, Swamiji, this point is troublesome. Śrīla Prabhupāda told us there is no trouble at all. It is simply recreation. Now the karmi, they are working very, very hard, day in and day out, you see. Going to the job, worrying about getting laid off from their job, you see. Struggling like beast of burden. Ashyol. You see? And then once a year they get a vacation. They go to some beach house somewhere and they enjoy. Oh, now I can have some recreation. But a devotee doesn't have to wait for some vacation, you see. Because he's having his vacation at every minute. At every minute he's sporting in the waves of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. He doesn't have to wait for the nectar. The nectar is already there. You may say, but how you can say that? This world is a vast desert. It is a struggle for existence. Where is the nectar? I may feel it in the temple, but when I walk outside, it's horrible. Do you think Krishna is not existing outside of this temple? Do you think Krishna is not in your heart? As I have been quoting this verse recently, Krishna is saying, Sarvasya, what is that? Yo mang sarvasya, sarvasya, sarvangcha mai pashyati, tashahang na pranashyami, satchamena pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost. Nor is he ever lost to me. And this point is confirmed also in chapter number 4. Text number 7. Matak parataram nanyat kinchirasti dananjaya mayi sarvam idam protam sutre maniganaiva. O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests on me as pearls are strung upon a thread. So when you walk out on the Tallinn street, you should no longer see just Tallinn, but you should see there is one thread running through this place, holding it together, you see. You should see, oh, there are so many pearls here, you see. There is this church. There is this office building. There is this street light. There are these people here. There are these people over there. There are the trees. There is the sky. And there are so many things all around me. They are simply pearls strung on the thread of Krishna. If Krishna were not here in Tallinn, there would be no Tallinn. That's all. There would be no Tallinn. There would be no earth. There would be no sky. There would be no universe. Krishna is there holding everything together. When you go to your job on Monday morning, when you walk into that building, you can say, this is a big pearl strung on Krishna. You see? So in this way, you have to see Krishna everywhere. When you go to the classroom at the university, you see? The University of Tartu is simply a bunch of pearls strung on a thread, that's all. Wherever you go, if you fly on the airplane, if you go on the ship, if you go on the train, if you go in the car, if you go on the ashram, however you may travel, even Verblut, some people travel on Verblut. You know that Verblut, the camel, yes. Some people travel on Verblut when they cross the desert, you see. So however you may travel, however you may live, wherever you may go, whatever you may do, you simply have to see how Krishna is there holding everything together. If it wasn't for Krishna, your body would fall apart in a minute. Your body also is like pearls strung on a thread. You see? Your eyes, your ears, your nose, your belly. It is all being held together by Krishna. If there was no Krishna, your body would just fall down and disintegrate into nothing. So we are dependent on Krishna at every step. He is holding everything together. And the amazing thing, he doesn't have to do it personally. Actually, he's just having fun with Radha and Rani and the gopis and Raj. It's not that he's struggling to hold Talan up, you see. He's struggling to keep the airplanes floating in the sky. No. By his energy, he is doing all of these things. This is the amazing potency of Sri Krishna. That he is doing everything. At the same time, he's doing nothing. He's simply sitting back, enjoying some prasadam in Vrindavan, you see, with his cowherd boyfriend. But by his energy, he is making everything happen. You may say, how is it possible? It is inconceivable to me how he be in one place playing his flute for the gopis, at the same time making the street lights work here in Talan. You know, red and green and yellow, and street lights. Yeah. It is only by Krishna's Shakti those street lights can work, you see. So how can he play the flute while at the same time make the street lights work, you see? I will give you a mundane example. If there is some big wealthy man, he has so many hired agents who manage his company on his behalf, you see. Just like I have one disciple in Riga. Aspiring disciple, his name is Ujjas. And he is big businessman. He runs the most powerful, he owns the most popular radio stations in Latvia. And he has his hired agents. Just like Dinas here, he is a hired agent. But his radio station is going on and every minute is being broadcast on the radio, you see. He has more than how many stations? Two? Now he has two radio stations and they're broadcasting 24 hours a day. They're always on the air. But sometimes Ujjas, he can travel with me, just like I was recently preaching in the Fiji Islands in the South Pacific. So he came there with me. He was traveling and preaching with me in the South Pacific. The same time that he was there in the South Pacific, enjoying the wonderful South Pacific preaching activities, his radio station was still going on. So, if even an ordinary businessman of this world, you see, he can enjoy traveling and preaching in the South Pacific. while his radio broadcast is still going on, two stations, 24 hours a day, you see. Then certainly Krishna can do. He can enjoy playing his flute in the forest of Vrindavan while all the material universes are going on very nicely. So we have to understand the inconceivable potency of Sri Krishna. And we have to somehow connect with that inconceivable potency of Sri Krishna. And if we do connect with that inconceivable potency, what will be the result? What will be the result? We will experience a life which is inconceivably sublime. Do you want nectar? Or do you want poison? Do you want to taste the nectar at every minute? Or do you want to drink poison, Bhaktivaiko? What do you want? Huh? Yes. In Estonian language and in Russian, it is also nectar. Nectar in Estonian? In Estonian, it is nectar. In Russian, it is nectar. 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 So, whether it's nectar, or nectar, if you will take shelter of Sri Krishna, if you will accept Him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you will fully surrender yourself at His lotus feet, then you will be swimming in an unlimited ocean of nectar at every minute. Now the Mayavadi, they also have the idea of that ocean of nectar. The Mayavadis say that you merge into the ocean. But this is not the right idea, you see. What is the fate of the water of the ocean? What happens to the water that's in the ocean? Do you think it stays in the ocean? Do you know the water of the ocean does not stay in the ocean? By the influence of the sun, that water evaporates into the sky. It becomes cloud, and the wind blows the cloud back to the land. So the Mayavadi, he may temporarily merge into the spiritual sky. But his liberation is only temporary. Bhagavatam says, they fall down again to this material existence because they have no regard for the lotus feet of Krishna. So my question is this. Is there any type of living being that stays in the ocean? Of course there are. That's the aquatics, the fishes. The fish stay in the ocean. They remain in the ocean. So the Vaishnava, he wants to become a fish in the spiritual sky. Not literally, I mean like a fish. That he can remain in that spiritual sky. So to want to merge into that ocean, that is less intelligent. To want to become a creature who resides permanently in that ocean, that is intelligent. And the way to do that is called bhakti marg. The path of bhakti. The path of bhakti. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have been very, very fortunate to receive this path of bhakti. All we have to do is to follow the pathway of the previous acharyas. Is there any difficulty? We simply follow this pathway. If you are lost in the wilderness, you are starving to death, you are dying of thirst, and you are lost in the wilderness, you are struggling to find the civilization again so you can survive. But you're not able to find your way out of the wilderness. But if you are very fortunate to come across a person who knows his way out of the wilderness, and you simply follow that person, then all your problems are finished. This is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadai Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. After wandering through the wilderness of this material existence for countless eons, countless years and years, millions and millions of years, you see, one who is very, very fortunate by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, he receives the seed of bhakti within the heart. So when we are very serious to realize God, when we are serious to realize what is the Absolute Truth, when we are serious to get out of the suffering of material existence, then Krishna very kindly sends to us a bona fide spiritual master. He is described as Patta Pradarshaka Guru. The spiritual master who shows the path. Sometimes the Patta Pradarshaka Guru, he is also known as Siksha Guru. Because he instructs us how to go back to home, back to Godhead. If we simply follow such an enlightened spiritual being, faithfully executing his instructions, then all of our problems are finished. We will not have to struggle anymore. Struggle finished. Simply we have to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Is this merely some flowery words? No. I know from my own life how I was struggling before I found my spiritual master. I was so miserable, it's just horrible to think of how miserable I was, actually. It's horrible to think. It was like living in a nightmare, a horrible nightmare. But that wonderful morning when I accepted His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Go Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, as my eternal spiritual master. Everything turned around. Everything turned around. Just that one simple act of taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. It completely transformed my eternal existence. And once I grabbed a hold of Prabhupada's lotus feet, I never let go. I've been holding on tightly ever since, for 37 years. And I'm still holding on tightly right now at this minute as I speak to you. Because without His blessing, I cannot speak very nicely. I have no qualification. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum namikate girim yat kripa tamahang vande shri guru tinataranam. By the mercy of the guru, even a babbling idiot, he can give eloquent speeches. And a lame man, he can cross over a mountain. So somehow or other, by His grace, I am here today. I am feeling very blessed with the association of you all sincere souls. Who want to absorb themselves in Krishna consciousness. So from the deepest portion of my heart, I must sincerely thank each and every one of you today. For so kindly giving me the opportunity to glorify the process of bhakti. So now I can ask if there are any questions.
Is it true that the chastisement and the glorification that the spiritual master gives to the disciple are actually equally blessings?
No, they're not. The chastisement is even more mercy. Prabhupada explains, the student who is more chastised, he is advanced. So from one perspective, they are both mercy. But actually the chastisement, it is even more mercy than the praise. I attended one Bhagavatam class at our temple, Juhu, Mumbai temple. And the devotee was giving a very nice point in his class. He said, if you find a devotee who is always chastising you, you should invite him to move in and live with you. Because he is your best friend. You see. So the more the guru chastises the disciple, that is very good for the disciple. But don't act like a fool. Actually, I think it was, yes, Advaitacharya was always being glorified by Lord Chaitanya. And he just couldn't stand it. So he started speaking Mayavadi philosophy, so Lord Chaitanya would chastise him. He thought that is even more sweet nectar to be chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes a neophyte, he's afraid of being chastised, you see. So the spiritual master has to flatter such a neophyte so they don't crumble and go away, you see. Sometimes a neophyte is so tender they cannot take being chastised, you see. So the spiritual master has to flatter that neophyte devotee, you see. But as that devotee advances in Krishna consciousness, then he can take more and more chastisement. Prabhupada was one time very strongly chastised by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he took it as the greatest blessing. He was sitting in the class, hearing the lecture. And there was one old man who was hard of hearing. There was one old man who could not hear very well. He was asking Prabhupada at that time of Bhai Charan Day, what is he saying? So Bhaktisiddhanta saw that Abhay Charanadavinda was talking during his lecture. And he stopped right in the middle of the lecture and chastised him in front of everyone. And he took it as the greatest blessing, actually. Any other questions?
Yeah. And we would like to know more exactly, is it happens before you join to ISKCON, or you join ISKCON and before accept Srila Prabhupada?
Ever since I accepted Prabhupada, my life has been ever increasingly blissful. It's before I joined this movement that I was suffering like anything. As soon as I took shelter of the ISKCON boat, my life has been simply wonderful. That doesn't mean there have been no difficulties. But because I always held on to Prabhupada's lotus feet through all the difficulties, I was always happy. Actually, they have a saying in English. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. So difficulties are actually an opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness. They are an opportunity to become more dear to your spiritual master. Just like when after Prabhupada left this planet, There have been so many difficulties in ISKCON. There's another English saying, when the cat is away, the mice will play. So, sometimes it is like that in ISKCON. Now that the founder Acharya is gone, there's so much nonsense going on. You see? But instead of becoming discouraged, I'm thinking, oh, what a golden opportunity Prabhupada is giving me, you see. Prabhupada could have stayed here to personally keep the movement on the track, you see. But now he's empowering me to keep the movement on the track. Along with my other God brothers, you see, he is empowering us now that we will keep the movement on the track. And now you must also become empowered that you can keep the movement on the track. That Prabhupada wants. That his followers, they all become empowered to keep this movement on the track. Any other questions? If they what?
Chastising.
No. I told in today's lecture, if I am chastised by my spiritual master, then that's very good. That's what I'm saying. I said that if devotees chastise others, it's good. Yes, that's the key. That means you're trying to help that person, you're correcting them, you see. If somebody is doing the wrong thing, and you sincerely want to help them, and you're trying to serve them, you see, then that's very good. But you have to, that is said, discretion is the better part of valor. You have to see if they're willing to hear from you or not. They have to trust you. If they don't trust you, then you're not going to be able to, you won't be effective in telling them anything. They have to trust that your intention is compassion and not egotism. For example, I could chastise you, Mataji. You see? Let's say I chastise you about something. Now, if you think that I'm doing it out of pride, then you will not accept it. If you think, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu is just trying to lord it over me, you see? Then you will be angry, you won't take it. But if you understand that I'm chastising you out of love, that I'm trying to serve you, I'm trying to help you become a pure devotee of Krishna, then you will be very grateful for my chastisement. So we have to know who we can chastise and who we cannot chastise. And we have to be qualified also. We have to have some advancement in Krishna consciousness before we can actually instruct others like that. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to live what you're talking about also. Does that answer your question? How to keep your mind always fixed on Krishna's lotus feet? Well, it is recommended in the scripture that when you take darshan of the deity, you should not jump immediately to his face. Just like this morning when I took the darshan of Nittai Chaitanya Chandra, when the curtain opened, I did not look at their faces. I simply looked at their feet. I would look at Lord Nityananda's feet, Lord Chaitanya's feet, and back and forth I was looking at their feet. And then after some time of looking on their feet, I was looking at their knees, the area where their knees are. And then gradually their waist, their chest, their neck, and then their faces. This is recommended, this is instruction given in the scripture, that you be always begin by taking deity darshan, by looking at the feet. Because we are the humble servants, bowing down at the feet of the Lord. It's not that I'm like Arjuna, a friend of Krishna. I can just come up and pat him on the back like a buddy or a pal. No, I'm a humble servant. So, lotus feet means you must always be in the mood of being humble servant. Humble servant of Krishna. Humble servant of Guru. In this way, if you always remember, I am humble servant, then you will always be able to keep your mind fixed on the lotus feet. But if you become proud, you won't be able to keep your mind fixed on lotus feet. So you must always keep yourself in humble mood, that's all. And then the lotus feet will always sit in your heart at every minute. The lotus feet of Guru will always be sitting in your heart. And the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Radha and Krishna, they will always be firmly planted in your heart. If you always remember, I'm just a servant of the 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 servant of Krishna. Any other question? I got a hand up over here now. Yeah.
Talking about glorifying and chastisement, isn't it that glorification is dangerous than chastisement?
It's what?
Dangerous.
Injurious?
Dangerous.
Dangerous? Actually, there can, for example, the spiritual master, he sometimes praises and he sometimes chastises. Chastisement has its dangers and praise also has its dangers. The danger of praise is the disciple thinks, oh, now I'm great. The disciple becomes puffed up. That's the danger of praise. There's a famous pastime when Bhakti Tirtha Swami, at that time he was Ghanashyam Prabhu, he came to see Prabhupada in London when Prabhupada was very sick in his final days. Bhakti Tirtha Swami told the story how Prabhupada glorified him like anything for his book distribution exploits in Eastern Europe. And he became very, very proud that I had been so much glorified by Srila Prabhupada. And the next day, Prabhupada totally neglected him. So there is a dangerous side to being praised by the spiritual master. And that is, you can think that I deserve this praise. The devotee never thinks that I deserve to be praised. If his spiritual master praises him, he simply says, oh Guru Maharaj, it is only by your mercy. It is only by your mercy acting through me that I have been able to do something that pleases you. Otherwise, I am completely a rascal. That this is confirmed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That song, Guru Dev Kripa Bindu Diya Korave Dase. That very nice song. That Gurudev, your mercy is all that I made him. Any other questions? Is everyone satisfied now? Yes?
Dangers of chastisement. You said that dangers in both.
Yeah, the danger is if the disciple is too much of a neophyte, that chastisement may cause them to run away also. So the spiritual master has to be careful. Same thing.
But the danger on the other side is that because they are already puffed up.
Yes, we're all puffed up, that's a thing. We are very puffed up. And we our desire is that please puff me up a little more. As we say in English, fluff and duff me, please. Sometimes evil wins a battle, you see. Sometimes evil will win a battle, you see. But good always wins the war. Any other questions? Is everybody satisfied now? Everybody is ready to take the weapon of Prabhupada's knowledge and go out and fight the war against evil? To make a revolution on this planet? Beginning with your own heart? and then to everyone and everything? Are you ready to fight for Prabhupada? And to defeat the personality of Kali? By pure bhakti? By strong preaching? And by good intelligence? Everyone's ready to fight now and become a spiritual revolutionary for Lord Chaitanya. This is what we want in ISKCON, you see. Prabhupada said that. He does not want sit-down Vaishnavas. He wants fighting Vaishnavas like Hanuman and Arjuna. These are the two great classics of Indian literature. Ramayana and Mahabharata. You see. And these are the great fighting heroes, Arjuna and Hanuman. You see. So these footsteps we are meant to follow. Hanuman and Arjuna. Thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.